And we are rolling.
Yes, we are, because the little red light is blinking.
This is Scatman rolling. What if Scatman were alive today?
Is he? Dead? I'm a Scatman.
No, not that guy. That guy is dead, though. I mean more like Scatman from, like, the DJ from, like, American Graffiti. He's like, hey, brothers, what's going on over there? We're gonna give Richard Dreyfuss some love advice. Man, George Lucas movie.
I never seen it, so.
You never saw American Graffiti?
No, why would I?
Because it's an American classic motion picture.
Is
what
it?
Are you talking about?
Is it really?
Yes, of course it is.
And who created this?
George Lucas.
Why would I watch that for? If it doesn't have lightsabers.
Well, you don't even like lightsabers.
TIE fighters. I don't.
Well, that's fine because it's just a teen comedy taking place in the 50s. Everyone's cruising around. It's actually a very good movie.
You know who played the disc jockey in American Graffiti?
Who?
According to Google,
yeah,
it was Wolfman Jack.
Wolfman. That's what I was thinking of. It's Wolfman, brother. You're gonna buzz. Are you familiar with Wolfman's work?
Yeah, I am, actually.
When you go to podcasting school, do they teach you a whole class on Wolfman?
No, they don't teach Wolfman Jack at all.
That's fucked up.
Sadly.
He should be a big part of the curriculum.
Wolfman Jack was a bona fide star.
Was he?
Yes. He was a bona fide star that crossed over from radio to television.
Yeah, brother. You're listening to PCMC, this pop culture man children will be with my boy, Emilio Sparks.
What would you couldn't be Wolfman Jack. What would your name be then?
This is Sasquatch Mike.
And Meerkat Emilio.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Oh, wait. I slipped into Macho Man a little bit there. Excuse me.
A little bit.
It's hard. They're very close.
Similar voices.
This is PCMC. Emilio's over there. I'm Mike. Welcome to another episode. It's been almost a year. This is the first episode of October.
Ooh.
It's going to be spooky old month, guys.
Yeah, our salute to Halloween.
We really did it. Yeah, we got a lot of fun stuff coming up. A lot of fucking jazz to play.
For more information on this podcast, daddies and mommies.
You want to go to Stitcher.
You want to go to Spotify.
I knew a girl named Stitcher back in 58.
You want to go to the Google Play and the Apple Podcasts. Why do I sound like Dusty Rhodes?
It's because it's so hard to stick with it.
You know, it really hurts the vocal cords
to
do that.
Yeah, I'm right now. I don't know why we did that.
But he's done that for years. Like that, I wonder if that was his voice or it was put on.
Well, in American Graffiti, he plays himself, and Richard Dreyfuss goes to talk to him at the... Because again, as you know, you can just walk right into radio stations.
That's not what happens.
And he gives Richard Dreyfuss advice, and his voice is... You can tell that it's him. It's not much of a reveal. But it's much less pronounced. Richard Dreyfuss doesn't realize that it's him.
Okay.
Because he's like, where's the Wolfman? He's like, Wolfman, he's not here right now, brother. What do you want me to do? And then when he leaves, he looks back and he looks through the fucking, like, he looks through the little blinds and he sees the on-air studio and he's like, ah, it's Wolfman! And we in the audience are supposed to be like, wow, he just got random advice from Wolfman Jack.
The Wolfman credits his success for his voice, saying that it kept meat and potatoes on the table for years for Wolfman and Wolfwoman.
You know Wolfman loved his meat and potatoes.
Yes, he did. He also said that a couple of shots of whiskey helped coat the throat.
Dumb late night fucking DJs? Who knows what was
God,
going on?
God, it was such another world back then, dude.
When people listened to the radio?
Yeah, I would have thrived as a radio host back then.
It's the Wolfman.
It's the Meerkat Emilio, and you're listening to the Meerkat Hour.
Let's go to the news, Cat. Henry Cavill is out as the Man of Steel, the Superman. Apparently, the whole thing unraveled because he was supposed to be in the movie Shazam in a cameo as Superman because Shazam is, or was, I don't know if it still is connected to that Snyderverse.
Are we still calling it the Snyderverse?
I mean, no, it's technically called the DCEU, but talks broke down, which doesn't sound good when anyone says broke down. And apparently Cavill was like, I'm not going to do it, or he couldn't do it or something like that. And then from that, like, everything unraveled. Because then I think they were like, well, if Superman can't be in it, why do we even need to make this tied into the DCEU? They've got Aquaman coming out. They're going to put a push behind it, but I think I think it's just going to, like, they're kind of just dropping it.
Yeah, but what was the issue, though?
All it says here is contract talks between Cavill's WME reps and the studio broke down, and the door is now closing to other potential Superman appearances.
Batman vs. Superman was a big failure, and then Justice League was a big failure. The one real big success was Wonder Woman. They never had an official, we're not doing this anymore, but I think what we're seeing is a sort of soft reboot of just kind of, I think Wonder Woman 84 is going to happen, and it's just going to be its own thing. Aquaman's coming out, but almost as like, we did it already, here, have it. You know what I mean? If it does good, great. If it doesn't do good, we don't give a shit anymore. Ben Affleck left Batman, and now with Cavill stop being Superman, they're the only thing tying the continuity together at this point. So then you have to be the filmmaker who goes, well, I don't have Cavill anymore as Superman. Why even make this next Superman movie in this universe? Same thing with Batman. Like, they were going to make The Batman, which was going to be Ben Affleck's standalone Batman movie.
So the Batfleck is gone.
Yeah, I think the whole DCEU is kind of just slowly fading into the fucking mist.
No, they're just going to merge into the New 52. I'm not saying that they're going to use the New 52 storylines, but I think they're going to re-emerge and burst out of the placenta.
I think that they are going to stop trying to be like Marvel movies and just go and treat every character as an individual. Kind of like what they were doing pre-Marvel. Because this whole shared universe thing, they couldn't make it happen. Except for on TV, where it's very successful.
They could easily have cameos.
I don't think they want to do that anymore.
So they're going to pretend that other superheroes don't exist? So Batfleck wasn't going to have any cameos from, let's say, a Green Lantern or a Superman or the Flash or Cyborg? He was just going to live in his own little world in Gotham City and just fight the crime that he normally fights?
Yeah, like it was in the 80s. They tried so hard to make the Marvel Universe thing happen. They started off on the wrong foot with Snyder, and then they kind of doubled down. And then when Batman vs. Superman failed, they were like, no, we're not going to change course.
The first movie we could say that was the kickoff to this DCEU should have been Man of Steel.
Right.
But there was no other cameo or whatever.
Well, technically, Man of Steel is.
That ties in to what they were supposed to do. Like, the mission statement from Jump with all the Marvel movies was to lead into an Avengers film down the line where all these characters fight for the greater good.
Well, with DC, they tried to do it backwards. They were like, okay, here's a Superman movie, which originally was kind of tied into the Dark Knight trilogy, but then they quickly severed that. And then they were like, okay, we're going to make a universe from this Superman movie. And then they did Batman vs. Superman, which had Wonder Woman in it. And then they did Justice League. So it was like, imagine doing the Avengers first and then doing Iron Man, Thor, Captain America. They tried to have the big team up first and then move backwards.
They should have done another Superman movie after Wonder Woman.
Probably. I mean, look, I think eventually what's going to happen is the only vestiges of this universe will be Wonder Woman, because I imagine Wonder Woman will continue on being successful. While we're talking about superheroes, let me talk about some other big news.
And when I say big news, I mean big news.
Batman's penis appeared in a comic book for the very first time.
Oh, I see what you did there now.
This is from Vox.
What a great segue.
Thank you. Like the hero it's attached to, Batman's penis has traditionally worked undercover. This is by Alex Abad Santos. But that changed this week as DC Comics exposed Batman's Batmember to the world for the first time ever, and then hastily decided to take it away. In a panel from Batman Damned, number one, written by Brian Azzarello, with art by Lee Bermejo, the superhero's penis, seemingly tied from a night of trying to solve the Joker's murder, is seen leaning to Batman's hard right, resting behind a pair of turgid tights and just below a chiseled waist. Here is what it looks like. It's really just in silhouette. You just see...
So it's just the shape of a dick.
Yeah, you kind of see it. The whole point of this Damned series is this is the new super dark series, which I don't know why DC always does that direction. But anyway,
you're gonna see more dicks.
You want to see
DC.
Batman's dick?
You want to see bat dicks? Here you go. It's just the silhouette of the fire helmet.
Right. And so I guess Batman's coming home from a night of Batmaning, and he's getting changed. So I guess, like, to be, I don't know what, realistic or whatever, you just see him kind of backlit and you see his dick. People freaked out and they have already removed it in digital versions, and in the next printing, they're removing it entirely. I've tried to get the back dick issue and I can't. It sold out immediately.
So Bat Dick Mania has swept the comic book shops?
Yeah. I've tried multiple places. I can't find the Bat Dick. I'm like, give me that Bat Dick. And they're like, everyone wants the Bat Dick. They knew this would be a good stunt. Oh, here, right here. The top is the dick. The bottom is what it looks like now. Very easy change. Very easy change.
That's why he's probably aggravated, because he doesn't have the biggest dick.
It's veiny, though. So the brand new imprint called DC Black Label is aimed at mature readers. So there you go, mature readers. Here's a penis.
So do you think they'll probably do a comic book where there's actually some insertion in a comic book?
Not after this, no. No, I don't think we're ever going to see full hardcore Batman fucking somebody. Continuing this theme, let's segue to our next piece of news, which is a bunch of photos have been revealed of Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker in his new Joker movie.
Well, this is very superhero-centric.
Look, there's just a lot of DC going on. Did you see the Joker pictures?
Yeah, it was stupid.
You can't tell anything from a picture. We've had this conversation
before.
But
the makeup's stupid, though.
It's weird because he's got the white face, but then he's got red over his eyebrows.
Yeah, he has eyebrows.
Which looks very clowny, but not Jokery. And then he very distinctly has, over his eyes, blue squares, which is taken from John Wayne Gacy, the infamous serial killer clown.
If we're getting a Joker origin movie...
Is that what it is?
I don't know. Maybe? So maybe we see that he's experimenting with the paint?
I guess.
Until he perfects it?
We just had Jared Leto. What do we do now?
But that Joker and this Joker are...
They're not in the same
world. No, but we have two Jokers. We have no Batman or Superman, but we have two Jokers.
What a world we live in. It struck me as odd, but, you know, remember when people first saw Heath Ledger, people were like, oh, this is going to suck.
Yeah, they were ripping that apart. Now it's like, oh, how could you replace Heath?
So it could be good. What's interesting about the makeup is I saw this documentary about John Wayne Gacy, and they said something interesting, which is clowns, when they do their makeup, they almost never do straight lines or angles, because angles are very unsettling for the eye, and it could scare a little kid. You want round shapes. So the fact that John Wayne Gacy had, like, these blue square diamonds over his eyes kind of showed you his darkness, and that's what Joaquin Phoenix has. It's direct Gacy. So, I don't know. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix is a good actor. I don't know what this movie's going to be. It doesn't look very Batman-ish, you know what I mean? Like, it looks
like
a movie about a clown.
You're not going to see Batman in it, right?
No, it's going to be like that, like fucking Venom or whatever.
Anti-heroes. Sweeping the nation.
Oh, you think Joker's going to, like, save the day in it? I mean, if it's his movie, he's got to, right?
I think so.
Oh, boy.
But I think he does it reluctantly.
I don't know.
But I like Joaquin, though.
I like him, too.
He's a great actor.
The pictures are the pictures.
Let's not pretend that he's not a great actor.
No, he's fantastic. I love him in Her. I love him.
For 2 hours, he made it compelling to watch him talk to a fucking iPhone.
Yeah, and I felt for them. I felt for their love. No, he's great. I want to see that new movie, Sisters Brothers, the cowboy movie he's in. What else is going on? There's a new Avatar The Last Airbender live action show coming to Netflix. You know, the last time they made live action Avatar, they made The Last Airbender, the M. Night Shyamalan movie. And everybody was very upset about it. Netflix is reimagining the concept and teams together with the original creators. They will executive produce the new series. And I think it's not a remake of it, but like a continuation of the original story. Avatar is something I never got into. It's not something I try to not get into. It's just something I've never had time to. It's not on any streaming services. So I haven't gotten a chance to sit down and watch it. But
yeah,
I
watched a few episodes on Nickelodeon. It was all right.
Yeah, some people are highly devoted to it and are very excited about this
series.
I
don't know enough of the ethos for it. I just want to see the flying yak.
There's a flying yak in it?
Yeah, I think it's a yak. It looks like a yak. Will we see yak dick?
Is this the flying yak right here?
No, that's Batman's dick.
Oh, sorry. Seriously, though, how much money does Netflix have?
They are rolling in it.
Is it possible for Netflix to bring down the whole economy? It's a bubble that's going to burst.
No, I don't think so. HBO just pulled out of doing boxing. Could you imagine if Netflix does live programming on the spot, like a sporting event?
Well, that's the last fucking leap for them, right?
I think it is, yeah. Netflix has yet to get into sports, but I think they will.
Fans are excited because they were the movie sucked. There was a spinoff series called The Legend of Korra, which people liked a lot. So, that's for you. What else is going on in the news? It was just announced that on December 21st, they're releasing a PG-13 version of Deadpool 2 in theaters with additional scenes. Here's an image that was released over the weekend of Deadpool reading to an adult Fred Savage on what looks like a recreated set of The Princess Bride.
I like that. That's funny.
It looks like the wraparound is going to be like him telling the story of Deadpool to him. I guess it's going to be more than just a cut. It's going to like it's going to make jokes about like cutting shit out and like overdubbing it with silly words.
Fuck, that's funny.
It's also an interesting idea because
it just brings more money into that franchise.
Yeah, right, right. It'll bring more money to it because now it's like here's this movie that's already successful. Here's a PG-13 cut that you could bring your kids to.
How many Disney references do you think will be in it?
I don't know. Well, the one thing people are saying cynically is that is this just a way to sanitize him a little bit so he can hang out with some of the other Marvel characters at some point in the future.
But does it hurt what the franchise is doing in the character of Deadpool through Ryan Reynolds' eyes? Because at this point, Ryan Reynolds has full autonomy over this character.
What could hurt is, let's say it makes more money than even Deadpool 2's original release, it might teach them, well, we don't need to go hard R anymore. And that would be a shame because Deadpool, I think, works best in hard R. This is like an experiment, or it's like a joke. It's like, we're taking this movie that shouldn't be PG-13, and we're going to probably put little black boxes over things and cut back to him telling the story to Fred Savage whenever things get too violent. They're making a bit over how they're covering it up.
Okay, I like that. If they continue to make it a bit like that where he breaks the fourth wall.
Right.
And makes reference to we can't be that violent because little Jimmy over there might not
right,
like
right.
it. And then you see him pop up on screen and do something.
Right.
I think that would work because he's more comedic.
Right, and it's all about fourth wall breaking anyway.
But I didn't think that it was a hard R. I thought it was PG-13 to begin with.
No. You've got lots of fucking and cursing and blood. It's pretty hard R.
Deadpool 2?
Yeah.
I didn't see any fucking in Deadpool 2.
No, there's no fucking, but there's a little glimpse of baby dick from Deadpool when he has the bottom legs. Also, he gets ripped in half by Juggernaut. That's pretty fucking violent. It's bloody.
As opposed to...
It's a hard R.
As opposed to just people crumbling to dust.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Will I go see it again? Probably. They'll get my money again.
Yeah, me too. I'll have to see this. Because I'm curious now.
It's interesting that they didn't tell us about this. That this sort of came out of nowhere. And I don't know if it was always a plan or they just hatched it recently. But if this was a plan, it's surprising that it's remained under wraps.
I think it's really funny, though.
It's a good idea, and I think it could be a very funny premise.
Did Disney come to David Leitch, who is the director, and Ryan Reynolds, who I don't know if he has a writing credit for it, but I know he produced it.
Right.
And I know he did write some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And say, listen, you have full creative control. Do what you want to do.
With this new cut?
With this new cut.
Well,
but just give us a PG-13 vibe.
Well, it's not a new film from what we know. It is Deadpool 2 with just a little bit of new footage to sort of wrap around it. But it's not like an entirely new film.
Which it doesn't have to be, but I really like the fact that we're kind of like getting Deadpool 2.5.
This is actually the third version of this film because on the DVD, there's like an even more hard R version, which I haven't seen yet. There will eventually be three versions of this movie.
Each making the company money.
And each being more...
absurd than the next.
Yeah, filthy.
But I like it. I think this franchise doesn't need to be gratuitous.
Well, it doesn't need it in terms of it being like a crutch, but I feel like it's true to the character.
I wouldn't like to see them sanitize him. I think it could be good otherwise, but I like that he is...
I don't think they're sanitizing him. I think they're just going to do it in a different way, maybe more juvenile and less hardcore.
I'm for that for, you know, I'm look, I'm for this project. I just don't want this to change the character from here on out.
I don't think it will. But we want him in crossovers, though.
Yeah.
You want him in other Marvel
but
properties.
But I don't think we need to sanitize him to cross him over. You know what I mean?
I want to see him be obsessed with Peter Parker.
He's like sort of has a crush on Spider-Man. Do you think they do that, though? I don't know if they do that in the movies. You know, in the comics, he's pretty sort of pansexual.
Yeah.
And we've seen very little of that in the movie, other than like little jokes here and there.
I don't think they'll address the pansexuality because Marvel's very sterile with what they do.
Yeah.
But what I do see them doing is making him a fanboy.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds has that likability.
Right.
Whatever they decide to do with the character and however you plug him in, as long as they really address the idea of breaking the fourth wall, letting that happen,
yeah,
I think they'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, I've saved the best news for last. Bert and Ernie are finally out of the closet after years of living closeted, but everyone loved them and knew who they were. Mark Saltzman, who wrote scripts and songs for 15 years for Sesame Street, now says that Bert and Ernie are gay. Now, this has been a topic for years, whether or not they're gay and whether they should come out. And I think PBS has always said, no, they're not gay. They're just friends. The point of it is to show an odd couple that you can be friends with people that you aren't like. But Saltzman, who worked on the show for fucking 15 years, said, yeah, they're gay. And he himself is gay. And he said that he would bring things from his own relationship into the show. Some people, I think, laughed at this. And some people, I think, were probably bugged by this. I think it's cool because they're obviously gay, so it's like...
For years.
Right, so just let them just be gay and not let it be a thing. Now, they still haven't come out officially on the show. It's just this writer who was there for a long time said, yeah, they're gay. Obviously, they're gay. And there has been, like, petitions and stuff to have them come out.
But there's also been a ton of backlash.
Right.
And Twitter exploded with it.
Is that right?
Oh, man, I saw a lot of ignorant tweets, dude.
Twitter is all about the hot, hot take.
It's all about stupidity.
Look, if you can't see that Bert and Ernie are gay, what world are you living on? This is a happily partnered couple for many, many years.
They make it work.
They have made it work for such a long time.
Most straight couples don't make it work.
Yeah, you know what? They are not just great representation of a gay couple. They are a great representation of, like, a healthy couple. Because now they're just like, now they're old men. So now they're like, you know what I mean? Like, they probably aren't even doing it that much anymore. They're just hanging out, reading the New York Times.
Just enjoying each other's company. Getting reacquainted with what made them fall in love with each other in the first place.
Absolutely. Well, that's it for the news. We covered more DC than we usually do.
This was a lot of DC talk, man.
Let's take a break.
Are you the Wolfman? No, man, I'm not the Wolfman. Wait a minute.
Who is this on the Wolfman telephone?
Diane.
How you doing, Diane?
All right.
That's the Wolfman.
Do you love me?
He's on tape. The man is on tape.
Do you love me?
Well,
yeah.
Where is he now? I mean, where does he work?
The Wolfman is everywhere.
Well, I gotta give him this note. Shit.
Can I wig on your roof, man?
Here, let me see the note. Hell, that's just a dedication, man. What I can do is I relay it. It'll be on tomorrow or Tuesday.
No, no, no. See, this is very important. You see, I may be leaving town tomorrow, and it's very important that I... Damn it, that I reach this girl right now.
You don't know whether you're going to leave town or not?
Well, I'm supposed to go to college back east tomorrow. And I don't know if I'm going to go. I don't know.
Wait a minute. Have a popsicle.
No.
Huh?
No, thanks.
Sit down a minute. It's early in the morning.
Damn.
I can't talk for the Wolfman, but I can tell you one thing. If the Wolfman was here, he'd say, get your ass in gear. The Wolfman comes in here occasionally, bringing tapes, you know, to check up on me and whatnot. Yeah. And the places he talks about that he's been, the things he's seen. And there's a great big beautiful world out there. And here I sit, sucking on popsicles.
Wanting to leave?
I'm not a young man anymore. And the Wolfman gave me my start in the business, and I like it. I tell you what, if I can possibly do it tonight, I'll try to relay this dedication in and get it on the air for you later on.
That would be terrific. Really. Thanks.
Yes, man. Hey, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
Really. I
appreciate it.
Sticky little mothers, ain't they?
They really... Six or seven of them, right?
I know. I got a whole refrigerator full.
Thanks a lot.
See you later.
Appreciate it.
Rock on, baby. We gonna do it right here. Rock and roll yourself to death. Oh, mercy. Give me some more.
Mike, let me ask you a question.
Yep.
Did you ever think that there would be a demand for a Container Store?
Have we not talked about my absolute love of the Container Store?
How many times have you been to this Container Store?
Six. I have a Container Store card.
Of course, you're a degenerate shopper. I have a problem.
I do have a shopping problem. But the thing about the Container Store is it helps me with the rest of the things I've shopped for because I organize them in containers.
How many containers do you have because of the Container Store?
Well, I have many little ones, but I have four really giant sort of like... trunks that I put a lot of my collectibles in.
So what is it, just wall-to-wall containers?
Yes, containers of every kind. Big, small. You walk through there and you just get excited. Especially if you have OCD, like me. You go, oh, the things I can contain. You know, I walk past a little cereal aisle and I think, God, I want to go buy cereals and empty them into these things.
Oh, so it's not just for bulky items, it's also for food?
No, it's everything. And luggage. And they've also got, like, lockers. Any kind of container. There's a lot.
So anything for storage, the Container Store has.
Absolutely.
Does it get popping in there? Like, are people in there?
No. Actually, I've only ever gone early. I don't know what it's like on a Friday night.
Do you think for the holiday season this year that the Container Store is going to be a hot, jumping bed of activity?
I absolutely think it is. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think you should try it. This is the Chill Sesh. Chill Sesh.
Well, we're talking about containers.
Did you see the season premiere of This Is Us?
Yes, I did.
Do you have thoughts on it?
Jack's going to chase Rebecca. It just wasn't the love at first sight.
Yeah, and it's like...
as we were told it was.
They extended what we already saw and then added a bad date to it.
That wasn't really a bad date, though.
Here's my hot take, and I've been saying this since the beginning. I always felt like this show can come to a point where we've said everything we need to say and all we could do is add more. We've seen Jack die. We've seen them go through hard times in their marriage. We've seen so much happen, and season three opens with them on their first date. And I feel like I know the whole point of the show is to jump around in time, but there was no stakes to it. Okay, you had a bad first date. You had an awkward first date. Who gives a shit? Like, you... Well, I already saw your whole life together.
Yeah, but at the end of that episode, some guy that looked real cheesy comes up to Rebecca's door.
Right. Jack is coming over to return her jacket that she left on purpose.
And she was getting all gussied up.
Right. And he's got flowers for her. And he rolls up to her street and he sees another guy knocking on her door. And she opens up and he kisses her. And Jack's like, oh, who's this other guy? But who gives a shit? Because the other guy doesn't last because they get married.
Maybe it wasn't love at first sight. Maybe... their love was tested. Maybe she couldn't decide between creepy guy and Jack.
I think we've hit the point, at least with the Jack and Rebecca story, where they are adding shit just to add shit.
Well, instead of trying to shoehorn in a Jack and Rebecca thing, there shouldn't be a need to continue certain plot points from the first two seasons. Like, why not just open up? They're in a date. They're at the carnival.
Because they
just do it.
Because there's not enough there. Every time they come back to the carnival, I was like, what is the drama here?
Like, expand more with the relationship between Jack and his dad.
Yeah, that would be good.
You know, explain more about the brother.
Right.
Give us some Jack in Vietnam.
That's the only thing that I think was of any sort of relevance to their first date, which is she asked him,
About the brother.
About the brother, and he says, I don't like to talk about it. I don't like to talk about the war.
Maybe we start to see a little PTSD.
Okay, but then, like, where did it go later on?
He drank it.
He drank it away. Okay, maybe. Well, then that changes things fundamentally. I don't know.
No, it doesn't. And also, remember, keep in mind, they never really fully explored the fact that Jack was supposed to rob that bar.
Was he supposed to rob that bar, or was he supposed to rob someplace?
He was supposed to rob someplace of a lot of money.
Yeah, because his friend's like, what are you doing? This is the night.
And then he meets her.
Oh, who gives a shit? But what did you think about the...
Clearly, we're giving a shit if we're talking about this. See, this is what they do. They reel you in. Slowly, they're going to reel you in.
I liked the more contemporary storylines. Kate and Toby and...
I'm over them.
You're over Kate and Tobes?
Over them. I don't like Kate and Tobes.
Kate and Tobes are having a hard time conceiving.
Always about Kate. It's never about Toby. She just doesn't care. She gives him this fucking attitude for half the episode. Then she realizes, damn, I'm being mean. It's always the same thing. And you have yet to hear him go, whoa, with the attitude. Curb it.
He's stepped up a couple times.
Now they're tweaking drug use with him.
No. Now he's on antidepressants.
Yeah.
Because we found out last season that he deals with depression. And we found out from the fertility doctor on this episode that the chances of them having a baby are very slim because she had the kid, but then there was complications. She miscarried.
Yeah.
And then they said in vitro wouldn't work because she's too heavy. And also his boys maybe won't swim because of his antidepressants. So even though Kate's like, don't go off your antidepressants, I don't want you to sacrifice that. He knows that her heart is all set on the in vitro. So we see him open the pills and throw them into the toilet. Rather than weaning himself off in a more healthy way,
yeah,
he's going to flip out and go get depressed.
Do you think they stay together?
Remember last year I asked, are we going to start cutting to the future more? And we did it again this episode. In the future, we see old man Randall with grown-up Tess. We still don't know who she is that's in the hospital. They're going to see her. And they call up Toby, and you see a very sort of older-looking Toby.
Who really didn't age that
much. He just
had
more gray in his beard.
That's it.
And he's all alone sitting in bed and looks kind of sad and sullen. So does that mean that him and Kate broke up? Does that mean he's depressed? Is Kate in the hospital? Probably not, though, because he would be there, right?
Well, future Randall said she'd love to see you.
Maybe Kate is in the hospital. I don't know. But last season, the central mystery was, how does Jack die? And this season has sort of set up already that the central mystery is what's going on in the future, which is an interesting idea, but I feel like it's a dangerous game to play with.
They never really deal within the present.
There's no mystery in the present, though.
The present is just a subplot for anything that goes on with the past and the future.
The present gets the most screen time, but in a way, it's not the most important.
It's a placeholder.
Well, I feel like the things that happen in the past and the things that happen in the future are the sort of like coda for how to unlock what's going on in the present. Like when something's happening in the present, it's always a reflection of or an echo of something that happened in the past. Now what you're beginning to see is things that happen in the present, how are they going to be an echo in the future? Like how is Toby throwing away his antidepressants and them deciding to try in vitro? What does that have to do with the future and Toby being alone in a bed looking all sad?
Will they play up the idea of mental health this season?
Oh, I think so. I think that's going to be Toby's storyline.
Where he starts to unravel.
Right, he's not going to tell Kate at first, so you've got a secret there, right? Perfect soap opera bullshit. And then she's going to see that he's depressed. He might start, I don't know what, drinking or overeating or getting mad or whatever. And then eventually she's going to be like, what's going on? And he's going to be like, I threw away my pills. And he's going to be depressed, and that's what's going to happen. This episode begins with following a real person, a football player, living his life and then going to play the game. This is a real person that existed, Franco Harris, who
played for the Steelers.
Right. He was part of the Immaculate Reception, which really happened, where he just put his arms out and the ball fell into his arms, and
yep,
it was amazing. This Is Us loves to do this thing where, like, we see a new character, and it's like, who the fuck is this guy? And you don't even know where the character is in time and space. And it ends up being, he was the football player from that game, and that game was on the day that Jack and Rebecca met, and that was playing in the bar. So everyone keeps referring to it, and somehow in the fucking thesis of the show, Franco Harris's fucking real-life journey has something to do with their story.
I thought it was a far stretch, but I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The tricks and the gimmicks are going to get more and more obvious to the viewer because we've seen them all before. We know what you pull on us. We're going to be less shocked, genuinely. If they do try to pull things that shock us, if they feel like they don't fit, we're going to be like, no dice. Let's say we find out that Jack really has some sort of problem that we've never known before. Like, Jack fucking sniffs glue. And then, like, they show a bunch of scenes of him, like, sniffing glue throughout the series. And it's
I would love to see Jack sniff glue.
And it's like, so, oh, that wasn't always there. You're just adding the sniffing glue.
We only know a small piece of Jack. We really don't know.
I feel like we know a lot of Jack, don't you?
No.
Why?
Outside of he's a hardworking dad.
We know his best
friends.
He loves
his kids.
We know his jobs. We know his kids. We know how he met his wife. We know how he feels about his wife. We know about his alcohol problem.
Yeah, but you don't know him as the man.
Well, that is him, the man.
No, it's really not. That's just like a little piece of him. There has to be a myriad of other interests that they don't get into.
I don't want fucking Jack.
Do you know everything?
This is our story.
Do you know everything about your father?
I know the important things. Well, I mean, look, he's a character existing in a TV show. We know all his relationships. We know his origin. We know his struggles. We know how he passed away. We know how he affects the other characters. There's nothing more to add. Going back to the very beginning, I think, shows us that they are reaching for shit. Because they kind of said to us, oh, Jack will never be off the show, even though he dies. Maybe if they went back to Jack as a little kid and added stuff, that might be interesting. But going back to them dating, it's just like, it's like watching extra, it's like watching deleted scenes on a DVD. It's like, okay, we got the movie. These are just extra. This is extra.
Yeah, but wouldn't
this
you like
add?
To watch how your parents courted each other and fell in love, and then you watch the hardships and the struggles of being in a couple, then thinking about getting married, the nervousness of that, then getting married, dealing with all that struggle?
Well, my parents are real people that really exist.
Yeah.
So they have volumes and dimension to them. Jack is a character, and he's a pretty well fleshed out character.
But to keep him in for however long this goes, let's say this goes for another 8 seasons.
That would be bad because they're just going to keep adding more bullshit. They'll be like, hey, did you know this? When Jack was 17, he was the Joker. And then there'll be a fucking season about he was the Joker and he was 17. And we'd be like, well, I guess that's the thing now. What I'm saying is my parents are real people, so they actually have real lives with shit in them.
Yeah, but they're trying to
Jack
convey.
Jack is a fleshed out character.
But they're trying to convey that Jack is a real person.
But he's not. He's a character. He can't be a real person.
But on television, he is.
But he's a constructed character.
Yes. But we're not watching it for the purpose of thinking, oh, it's television. No, we're supposed to put ourselves within these characters. We're giving life to them outside of just what's being presented and structured.
No, I disagree. I think that even though we are still, I guess, in some ways suspending disbelief and enjoying the narrative,
I think you should.
We're at a point where you're going to start feeling like they are adding more. Like, I liked Solo, A Star Wars Story, but a lot of people didn't like it. And what a lot of people who didn't like it said was, I know Han Solo. I saw him in 4 movies. I saw him die. I saw him fucking win against the Empire. Do I need a scene where I find out that somebody gives him the name Solo? Oh, you don't have a last name and you're all alone? How about I call you Solo? Like, a lot of people hated that. You know what I mean? Like, is there going to be a scene where little Jack is like, they call me John, and his uncle's gonna be like, I'm gonna call you Jack, and we're supposed to be like, ooh, revelation, secret origin.
Your life is a Dan Fogelman movie.
Not even. My life is more of like a BoJack Horseman episode.
It could be, my name is Mike, and we have 3 different Mikes telling 1 story of Mike.
Yeah, we could do that.
You know, we could have young Mike.
Yeah.
Then we can have the Mike of now. Mm-hmm. And then we can have the Mike of the future.
Well, it sounds terrible. I don't think anybody would be interested in this.
You don't think so?
No.
You don't think people would want to see the Mike of now?
No, no, no.
Like, the reasoning why you got your TARDIS tattoo?
Somebody at Dunkin' Donuts the other day was very excited by it.
It's a minimal tattoo.
I like minimalism. I only get black outline tattoos.
But it's nice.
Thank you. It's on my bicep, which is a big change for me because my other tattoos are on my shoulder, so it's very easily covered by clothing. The woman, Stephanie, who gave it to me, said, do you want it on your bicep? And that was a big decision because it's like, this will be out. This is like, do you going to be one of these people that has
a tattoo.
A tattoo. There's, and I love it, and I'm already like
because you're exposed now.
Yeah, yeah. I have a tattoo. I already know what we get next year.
Oh, so this is a yearly thing.
Yeah, September 15th, I think, every year I'm going to get one.
But see, though, so now people know, like, oh, wow, wait a minute. This guy's got something going on. There's a story behind this TARDIS.
I travel through time and space.
See? So you don't think people would be interested in watching present-day Mike get a tattoo on September 15th?
No. I don't think my life would make a good Dan Fogelman story.
Is Mike?
No, I don't think this Mike would be good.
I think This Is Mike would be fantastic.
I'm not yes-anding this bet.
Why?
I'm no.
Because then I could be in your TV show.
I don't think there's enough comedy here for me to yes-and it.
Sparks as you know it.
That's a where did you get that title from?
I don't know. I just started thinking of weird Dan Fogelman kind of fucking titles. Sparks as you know it.
No.
You don't think that would be interesting?
No.
Like, people wouldn't want to watch me.
I don't think you're bankable in that way. I'm sorry.
Oh, come on.
Look, Webb, look at the
numbers. I hung out with Mike Shane 2 days this week.
Look at the numbers. That's going to do nothing for anybody.
I mean, come on. We could have a whole episode based around the Container Store.
Why don't you have a tattoo?
I have.
What do you have?
My back is all done.
Yeah, what is it?
Would you like to see it?
I've seen it, but tell me what it, remind me what it is.
No, you're going to say it. I'm going to show you.
Why don't you have more, though?
Because I don't know. I just think it's a lot of responsibility, and financially, I just don't have it.
I know what my next one's going to be. It's going to be on this wrist
here. Oh, you're
here.
Addicted. You're addicted.
Once a year is fine. September 15th only.
See, look. I'm going to show you my tattoo.
It says, truth, love, false idols. What does that mean?
You find true love within false idols. I don't know. I was trying to be semi-fucking deep.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't... It's definitely semi-deep, and there's, like, a gun. There's a lot going on there.
And a flower, and then there's an inscription on the top that says, in love with a lifestyle I can't afford, a.k.a. if I could get this thing fucking removed or cheese grated off me, I would.
Why would you?
You like it?
Yeah, it's all right.
It's all right.
I mean, I don't... It's not, like, bad work. It's nothing that...
Oh, it's beautiful work.
Yeah, so why remove it?
Because I just don't think it fits who I am now.
What would you get now? If you could replace it with something now, what would you get?
I don't know if I'd get anything, honestly.
You should talk to your friends Kat and Paul, because they are both very tatted people, and I bet they've got really good insight on what to do.
I don't know if I like it, though. I don't know if I would get another
one. When did you get it? How old were you when you got it?
24.
Well, that was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
How much did it cost? That's a big piece.
It's a waste of $500.
$500?
Yeah.
It's actually not bad for that. I would have thought more.
No. It was a waste of five.
How many sessions did you do it in?
One.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Interesting.
I'm a glutton for punishment.
But what are those words? Did you just pick them out of a book?
No, it was just something I...
Do you have an issue with false idols? What does this mean?
I don't know. I saw it in a book of poetry
and
I was like, I like that.
That sounds meaningful.
And then I'm a
I
fan
like
of the
pentagram.
No, it's a heartogram.
It's got 5 points. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No, but it's a heart.
Why?
It's from the rock band Hymn.
That is a pentagram,
no.
And the devil will appear on your flesh.
No, it's a heartogram.
What makes a heartogram different from a pentagram?
Because a heartogram deals with love, because him
Well, that's just you saying
about
something.
Love.
That's the design of a pentagram.
No, it's not, because look at the curved roundness of the piece over here. It's a heart.
Oh, that's stupid. You look very happy in the photo. You look happy to be getting it.
Yeah, but looking back at it 30 years later... I'm like, fuck, let me just rip this thing off my back.
Oh, whatever. Who cares? I forget that I even had the first one.
I forget that I have it, and then sometimes I realize, oh, shit, I do have one.
I think the problem with your tattoo is it's lonely. You know what you should get? The Ultimate Warrior face paint on your face.
No, I can't mess with the pretty, bro. It'll mess up my handsome.
Right.
What happens if I want to go for a job?
It worked perfectly for...
Ultimate Warrior?
No, I was going to say Mike Tyson.
Yeah, but Tyson's a legend, though.
Well, you know
you
why,
could see Mike
he's
Tyson.
Got a face tattoo.
You could see Mike Tyson and be like, yo, that's Mike Tyson.
Right.
And the distinguishable
face
tattoo.
I feel like
if
you were, if like I worked with you and you were the guy at the office with the face tattoo, I would know your name. I'd be like, hey, it's Amelia with the face tattoo.
Yeah, but I'm also not as intimidating as Mike Tyson. And
well,
Mike Tyson
tattoo
also,
goes a long way.
I know that, but Mike Tyson also has money. I don't. So Mike Tyson can have the liberty to have a face tattoo. I don't have the liberty and financial freedom to have a face tattoo.
Well, it's hard to get a face tattoo because it's cutting yourself off from a lot of employment.
So that's why you have to be a multimillionaire.
Right. Or, but then you could just live like the Joker and just put makeup on over it every day. And that's then when you quit, be like, aha, and wipe it all off.
But that's a lot of work, though.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but...
I don't want that. Besides, I don't want a tattoo.
Well, all right, maybe more just, like, how about the Ultimate Warrior, like, the face thing on your arm?
I don't know if I want to do the arms.
The pink version, the pink variant.
I would do that.
I like that.
But I don't know if
nice.
I would do, I don't know if I would
I already
do it on my
like,
arm.
I already like doing my bicep curls more.
It's because you're a narcissist.
Well, when you put the tattoo on the bicep, you go, let's stretch this bitch out.
But it don't really stretch out.
No, though. It doesn't really. Because the skin kind of stretches from underneath.
So when
the
you
armpit.
Do bicep curls, do you think like the doctor and the companion inside are falling around the TARDIS?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is exactly what I think.
Okay.
I kiss it. I go, And you know, people at the gym look at me, but whatever. Let them look.
And they think, what does this guy got going on?
Yeah, they hate me because they ain't me.
This is Mike. This fall on NBC. Dun, 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 dun. I'm telling you, you'd be an interesting show. Like, watch Mike read for 40 minutes. Watch Mike play Dr. Mario.
I beat that game. I don't play it anymore.
You want to take a break?
Sure.
Time to go down to the basement for some more hauntingly delicious Count Chocula cereal.
Don't look in the basement.
Those eyes are looking at me.
Think I'll get some fruity Frankenberry from the cupboard.
Don't look in the cupboard.
Oh, those eyes, they move.
Now the spooky, delicious part of your complete breakfast is even spookier.
Now Chocula's eyes really move. So did Frankenberry's.
He is looking at you, kids.
This is Pop Culture Man, children. This is Obsessions. I'm obsessed with The Good Place. Season 3 just started. Every season has been radically different. Season 3, it looks like it's going to be the most normal. The show is known for making many twists and turns and surprises, and so I can't tell you too much about it, but I can tell you Season 1 is in heaven, or what they call The Good Place, and now Season 3 takes place on Earth. It's a show that's really funny, but actually I think you'd like it because you are a kind of religious person.
Yes, I am.
And the show deals with ethics and what does it mean to be a good person. And the concept of Season 3 is like these characters get a do-over. They get to go back to being alive and see if they can do being alive better. It's very interesting. One of the characters is a professor of ethics and philosophy. And the show weaves a lot of philosophy into it. Not in a pretentious way. In a way that it actually makes you think. It's a very smart show. Ted Danson, I think, is gold. I love Ted Danson. He's great in it. He plays like an angel. That's what I'm obsessed with. I really like The Good Place. I wish I could talk more about it, but... Oh, you know what? I have something else, too. We got a message.
From?
Rito.
Shout out to the Rito.
Hey, Mike. I hope all is well. I don't know when you record, but I wanted to send fan mail of sorts and say that I legitimately look forward to your show every single week, and you're probably one of the most consistent shows in recent memory, where you make dated references and make me laugh hysterically, and a running gag of Rocky quotes is great. I listen to it at home. I listen at work. I even listen when I'm in the comic shop searching for a trove of treasures and goodies. I also like that you're a woke podcast that accepts all people for who they are. And me being an ally of the LGBTQ community, I share this with my friends, and they love your boyhood charm and comedic timing. That's me. That's the boyhood charm.
Okay.
He's talking about me in that one. You guys are great. Time to go bye-bye, and too sweet me
when you see me. It's a Wrestle Rap reference.
Okay.
You wouldn't get it because you don't listen to the show.
But she listens to your show.
You know, Rito's a good guy.
He's a great listener.
We appreciate you.
Yeah.
We're doing good work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you guys want to send any more messages or email or whatever, we'd love to read them on air. You could always ask us questions, whatever.
Yeah, that works.
We do a whole mailbag thing.
I think it works.
What are you obsessed with?
Well, first I got a story since we're talking about feel-good vibes and paying it forward. I was with Mike Shane this weekend.
Who's that?
Is a friend of mine and a friend of yours. He's a fantastic photographer and adventurer. Okay. He just literally lives out of a backpack for several months out of the year and just goes and lives his life and takes these amazing photos and just documents the beauty of what life is and adventure. We just bump into each other randomly because he was going to the ferry. I was coming home from the ferry. So we decide, since we haven't seen each other in a full calendar year, that we were going to go grab a cup of tea. So as we're walking to my car, we both look down at the exact same time and we find a wallet, a Louis Vuitton wallet, and we open it up. And we're like, all right, we got to find that person's information and, you know, Facebook message them and
yeah,
tell them we have their wallet and how do they prefer that we send it to them.
Mm.
So we look in the wallet. We find the guy's ID. Mike finds him on Facebook. And this is technology, man. This is spooky.
Right.
You know, he messages him. 2 seconds later, the guy calls Mike. And he's like, yeah, that's my wallet, blah, blah, blah. Here's my address. I'll text you the info. And then, boom, off we went. And we delivered the wallet back. And then the guy wanted to give us money for it. And we were like, no, sir, we don't need it. We, you know, just pay
where
it forward.
Were you when you found the wallet?
On the Staten Island side of the ferry.
Was the guy in Staten Island?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it far to get to him?
20 minutes.
Did you go into the guy's house?
No, he just came outside.
I would have took some money. How much money did he offer you?
20 apiece.
Not bad.
No, but why take money for?
Because you went out of your way. You drove 20 minutes. It's $1 a minute.
He needed his wallet. I know if I lost my wallet, I would pray somebody would find it and return it.
Yeah, and I'd give them money for it.
I mean, I'd offer money too, but I turned it down because it's just you want to pay a good deed forward.
That's well, it. You would go to the good place because you've done a good thing.
That's a very good tie-in, Michael.
Yeah, well, you
very
know.
Very good tie-in.
Yeah, all right. Well,
it's about doing good and not expecting good.
That's what it's about.
Just pay
folks.
It forward. Good Samaritan Squad. Use the hashtag.
Yes. Be good, for goodness sake. Oh, somebody's coming. Somebody's...
Could we enjoy Halloween first?
Okay, sorry.
All right. Fall back for that.
So is that your obsession? You're obsessed with yourself and your fucking self-righteous story?
From the narrative of Sparks as we know it, yes.
Yeah, yeah. You're obsessed with how good a man you are?
Yeah, I am.
Anyway, obsession?
I know this is supposed to be obsessions, and I went on this tangent of Sparks as you know it, but I don't think I have an obsession this week.
Why not?
Because I watched Voltron. Mm-hmm. I started BoJack. I haven't really been reading anything new. Like, I've just been watching those two things.
Mm-hmm.
And Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. That's about it.
Look inside your heart. What's going on in there?
I've been watching a lot of Alaskan Bush People.
What the fuck is that?
You don't know about the Alaskan Bush People?
No.
Now, obviously, it's reality TV, so it's probably fake, but it's this family of 9.
Okay.
Living in the Alaskan Bush, cut off from civilization.
Except for the camera crew that follows them
around.
Except
for the camera crew that follows them around, yeah.
So what are they like, what's a typical episode like?
A lot of hardship, apparently.
Well, you live in the bush.
A lot of hardship, a lot of hardship where, you know, they trade. This is what I got. They traded dental service for fish. They bartered.
Who hasn't? Who hasn't been there?
I mean, so like at one point, like one of the daughters had to get her tooth removed and the dentist knew Billy Brown. He's like, well, Bill, I know you ain't got no money. Trade me some stuff. And Billy's like, you want some fresh fish? And the dentist is like, you know what? Free dental work for fish? You got it, pal.
Where is this show on?
Discovery Channel.
It sounds amazing.
And you watch them build an entire house?
Yeah?
Yeah. Only for the government to come in and light it on fire?
Why?
Because apparently they were living on land that wasn't theirs.
Well, they don't abide by our laws, the Bush people.
No, and then you saw the Bush people have a boat and that sank.
Boy, life is hard for them.
You see them deal with the threat of bears.
Don't we all deal with the threat of bears?
There was a little bit of alcoholism.
I would imagine.
But what I find odd is how are you getting alcohol in the Bush?
Maybe they're making it themselves.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I really have to watch this show to see this because they're like God-fearing people.
Yeah.
I can't see them taking a sip of Grandpa's cough medicine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
but they're doing it.
But they're doing something. Somehow they have girlfriends and wives. Like, how do they go out? Like, what?
I bet they're all on opiates, too.
So do you think after the show films, they go into town in Alaska, fucking party, do all this sinful shit, spend their hard-earned Alaskan Bush people checks, eat
know.
Like foie gras?
But what is the thing? Are they wholesome or are they...
They're
I can't
wholesome.
Get an idea.
They're pretty wholesome.
But is there really alcoholism going on? Or is
well,
it...
one of them had an alcohol addiction, yeah. And he broke down to his brother and said, I'm scared, Gaby. I can't drink no more. The isolationism, the loneliness.
Well, that's what happens when you live in the bush, you know what I mean?
And it's the bush. It's
really?
Literally like, imagine living in a forest. Imagine this parking lot
full
of trees, right? This is Browntown.
Yeah.
Okay? Now you have to resurrect Browntown. You have to build. So now we have like Mike's little hut.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, but it's snowing. It's Alaska. It's cold weather. So what are we doing? All right, we got to build a little makeshift tent that all nine of us can fit in. So let's grab some wood. Let's pack it with moss, because apparently moss is very sterile. You can put it on wounds. You can use it for insulation. Oh, then you're learning all sorts of shit when you go camping.
Okay.
They teach you how to track.
I don't even like leaving my house. That sounds like a nightmare. Anytime the power's ever gone out and I have to, like, I'm like, I feel terrible. I'm like, no.
Like, nothing they get is brand new. Like, there's no container store for them to go through. They would, like, rummage through junkyards.
What do they contain their stuff in?
They really don't have a lot of stuff. And most of it's junk that they find anyway. They'll go to a scrapyard and barter for things that they think they need. Like, there's this.
So none of them have jobs, like real jobs?
No, they don't. They live in the bush. Their job is to survive in the bush. That's their job.
So they're just like primitive man?
Not primitive man. Then they dealt with the fact that they might have to live in the lower 48.
Uh-oh.
And how they will interact with society.
That might be good for them.
One thing I thought was complete bullshit. The brother's name is Bear. So the producers asked Bear a question. They're like, now you're living in Chichua, which is, I guess, like this town of like maybe 100 people. What's the most technologically advanced thing that you've never seen that you're amazed with?
A Game Boy.
He describes a microwave.
A Walkman.
He's like, oh, the box that you put food in.
Such bullshit.
Exactly.
This sounds like the fakest fucking
reality
show.
You press the buttons and it heats up the food.
It's called a fucking microwave and you know it. Do they look at the camera crew and go, what's that magic thing you're holding?
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying.
It's stealing my soul.
They were amazed. You saw them riding an escalator and they thought it was like the greatest thing in the world.
Well, it is kind of fun to ride an escalator.
It is, but come on. Like, really?
That's hilarious.
And they have Instagrams.
Oh, how do they have an Instagram but then a fucking escalator?
Most of the... They have Instagrams. Like, they have phones. I do like
so
the younger...
So how do they have a phone yet they're impressed
they
by
all have
microwaves?
Phones. They all have phones.
But a microwave is beyond them.
That's what I'm saying. Instagram's not, but a microwave is.
Such bullshit. This is the fakest fucking reality show I've ever heard of.
But they're living in the bush.
Yeah, apparently. How did they get found to even make this show?
I don't know. I don't know the ethos of it. But I do like the younger brother, Noah. He's supposed to be like a bush scientist and takes...
What does that mean? He has a lab coat made out of leaves.
He's Swamp Thing. he made a bug zapper from a top hat.
Stop it.
I swear to God.
Stop. This is a fucking cartoon.
No, it's not.
I've got to watch this. Is it supposed to be funny?
No, but you will laugh because most of the shit that he makes is ridiculous.
Because he's a fucking bush inventor.
Literally, the brother...
Sounds like the Flintstones.
Literally, so the brother Bear lives in a treehouse.
The brother Bear?
Yeah, he lives in a treehouse. And his door isn't a regular door. It's from a 78 Saab or something. It's just a car door handle. He's like, yeah, when I bring girls up here, they'll be like, wow, check out his treehouse with his awesome door. And he has a zip line into his parents' house.
And then there's like a pig that is a garbage disposal.
Exactly.
And it's like, it's a lemon.
So that's what I've been watching. And I'm thinking, could I rough it?
No. No.
Like, we're sitting in...
I couldn't live without a microwave.
Like, oh, the box that heats up the food?
The magic heat box?
The magic heat box.
But your phone makes sense. But a microwave doesn't. I guess you never use YouTube on that phone and see what other people are doing.
Yeah, look, Alaskan bush people, they have an Instagram. Look, for the kids. The kids have their own Instagrams as well.
Oh, wow. They're interesting looking.
They're tree people.
Tree people? That's hilarious.
So we're single, but people that live in the Alaskan bush find girlfriends and wives. What's wrong with that picture?
We don't have cool tree houses is the problem.
Do you think we need a tree house?
Mm-hmm. We're two city folk.
Like, look, this is the one that lives in the tree house.
He looks like someone who looks in the tree house.
Yeah, that's Brother Bear.
There's nine of them?
Nine of them, yeah.
Nine siblings or nine in the whole family?
Nine in the whole family. Look, they hunt.
Of course they hunt. That's how they eat.
See, I don't think I can hunt.
No, I don't think I can hunt either.
But we could probably have a
if
really
if you went
good...
up there and you were like, do you have anything vegan? They'd be like, vegan?
What's that?
You can go chew on that tree if you want.
Well, I just eat vegetables. There was an episode where they built a greenhouse,
out of plastic wrap.
Sure. You bet.
Yeah. Yeah. So
they're just living life.
But this is what they do. They just live life and try to figure out how to
roll around in tires.
Yeah, they just try to live life and figure out life in the bush.
It seems very close to being homeless.
I don't know. I don't think it is.
Do they have social security cards?
They have to.
Are they on the grid?
I know they don't pay taxes.
How do they have a TV show and not pay taxes?
Well, maybe now they do.
Fuck.
But I don't know, man. Like, wouldn't you want to live off the grid?
No. God, no.
You wouldn't want to go to the bush of Staten Island?
No. No, I want to go home right now.
You don't want to live amongst the deer?
No, I actually want to get a pillow top for my bed so it's more comfortable. That's what I want.
So you don't want to, like, plant your own vegetables and pick your own vegetables and make a greenhouse out of plastic wrap?
No.
You'd rather just go into Panera Bread and just eat a squash soup?
Nope, I don't need any of that bonanza bullshit. I'm living the modern world.
All right. I mean, they follow Kendall Jenner on...
Well, who doesn't follow Kendall Jenner? Come on now. If you're going to have an Instagram.
You got to follow Kendall Jenner. All right.
All right. I think we got to put this episode to bed.
I'm just saying. I would, like, because I want to live in a van.
And we know about this dream.
But I'm starting to think, would I be a good bush person? Podcasting off the grid.
I mean, there's only one way to fucking... You can do it right now.
Hey, look at me.
You've already got the look. You've got the long beard. The shovel look. You could start right now.
But could I live off the land?
Could you? Could you be an urban gatherer or whatever?
Well, sometimes they don't...
Forager?
Sometimes they don't shower for weeks at a time.
No, I couldn't do that. I shower 4 times a day. Well, that's a good obsession.
It's an odd obsession.
I love it.
It's something that comes on every night, and I watch it for several hours. My TV watching's been weird, man. It's Alaskan Bush People, American Pickers, Diesel Brothers, Modern Family, MMA, Pro Wrestling, Netflix. I don't know.
No, I feel like that all fits.
Yeah, right?
It all fits together.
So if you want to follow us while we're still on the grid.
Yeah.
We have an Instagram page, at Pop Culture Man Children. We're at the start of our salute to Halloween. You can listen to this podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, the big 4. And if you want to write the show, slide into our DM.
Yes.
Or you can even DM me on Twitter, at Emilio Sparks, EmilioSparks.
You're very accessible. Yes.
If you do a good deed and you want to be in the Good Samaritan squad, let me know what you did. Let me know.
Yeah.
You know? If you want to live in the bush, you let me know. Maybe we'll live in the bush together.
If you do live in the bush, and somehow you hear this, tell us what life is like.
And do you know what a microwave is?
No, but they know what a podcast is.
They know. They have iPhones.
Yeah.
They have iPhones. And they go on dates. And they use social media.
You bet they do.
But they don't know what a
microwave is. All right, let's go bye-bye.